Blog Talk Radio.
One more to go in, and that is by Jack with Garrett Gomez about to take up position in the outside stall. 19 three-year-olds at a mile and a quarter, and by Jack is in, and they're all in line. We are ready for the start. They're off in the Kentucky Derby. Java's War was off to a slow beginning, a good start for Verrazano and Falling Sky. Falling Sky is the early leader, and now It's My Lucky Day, and coming through on the inside is Golden Sense, and Palace Malice is right up there, too, in the early mix as well. Then it's Oxbow to the inside. Vijack is on the far outside. In behind them comes Longshot Giant Finish, Crack Daddy Extreme outside, that will take charge. Normandy Invasion rides the rail as they begin that wild scurry into that first turn. And then it's a link farther back to Over Adelaide. Lines of Battle is right there to the outside of Horses Golden Soul. And then comes Orb, who is third last as they make their way to the backstretch, ahead of My Lute and Rosie Napravnik. Revolutionary and Calvin Burrell are on the rail in slow-starting Java's War. A 45.5 mile, an extremely fast pace set by Palace Malice and Mike Smith, who lead the way up the backstretch. And an unexpected early leader here is Palace Malice. Verrazano is three lengths behind, running in second. Vijack, Oxbow, and Gary Stevens are on the rail. And Kevin Trigger has Golden Sense off the pace today. He's fifth as they move for the far turn. The Normandy Invasion, followed by It's My Lucky Day. Down toward the inside is Charming Kitten. After that comes Giant Finish. Nothing yet from Orb. He's still about 15th, but he begins to move up on the far outside. Palace Malice is the leader. He's set a torrid pace so far, and the pack is catching up quickly. Through on the inside is Oxbow, and Normandy Invasion is storming home, and they're into the stretch, and Normandy Invasion has taken the lead on the outside. Orb is coming with giant strides in the center of the track. And here comes Orb on the outside now to take the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Orb in front from Normandy Invasion, My Lute, and Golden Soul between horses down to the wire. Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Shub McGee. It was Golden Soul. Revolutionary came.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the exciting finish of the Kentucky Derby. David, it's just like it just happened, but, I mean, exciting finish.
Dude, it was a good one. I mean, I always, it's like, what, 2 minutes? But it's an exciting 2 minutes. And I'm not even a huge, horse racer guy or whatever, but you got to watch the Kentucky Derby, man. That's just part of the thing is what you do in May.
It is. It really is, and I've definitely watched it the last few years, and it's always an exciting thing. By the way, I'm your host Andrew. Hey everybody, and pleased to be joined with our co-host for the day again, David. David, I appreciate you joining us.
No man, I enjoy it. Like I said, I get to speak to people like coming up, Joe Rizzo. Or Joel, however you wanted us to say
Joel.
It, Rosario. Joel, yeah, he ended up being a cool guy. I mean, you'd watch it as a kid, and you're like, man, the Kentucky Derby. And then to be talking to him and asking questions and just realizing, hey, this young normal guy that just hops up on a horse and controls that beast of an animal to, the 139th victory.
Right.
Or 139th running of the Kentucky Derby.
139th,
the first Dominican, you said?
Right. He is the first Dominican to ever win the Kentucky Derby. So he will definitely, there's no doubt about it, he will definitely go down in the record books and everything. So that is exciting. Very exciting.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
And I've got to apologize to everyone in advance. It's very hard for, I think, both of us not to say Joel, because Joel, of course, his name is pronounced Joel. And in Spanish, it's Joel. So we went with Joel. So.
Yeah, we just some country bumpkins that we just say what we think. It's not nothing personal, I promise you.
Yeah, absolutely. And David, you were telling me and Joel during the interview that you saw a documentary on the Kentucky Derby, and well, not necessarily just the Kentucky Derby, but what jockeys have to go through. Can you tell us a little
bit? Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I know I get excited because I'm a bit of a documentary nerd. I love documentaries. And all the ones about the conspiracy theories, whether I believe it or not, I just love watching it to get different, perspectives that different people have. And documentaries when it's just like reading a book. I love biographies. So I love to see people's lives and what they go through and this and that. And they had one on HBO some years back. It was about jockeys and what they go through and everything. And, my God, dude, it is unreal what these people have to put up with as far as, obviously, you know you got to be small. I mean, that's part of it. But they're, what they do to, it's not natural for a grown man to be, you know, the height you can't change, but the weight, to get down to the weight they have and what they have to go through and put their bodies through. And he even mentioned it in the interview about a hot box. And, man, when they say hot box, they mean hot box. They get in there, you know, some of them will even wrap themselves up in trash bags and then go into the saunas and sweat it out. It's unreal. I mean, the amount of sweat it goes through, much like wrestling. People do the same thing in wrestling, but you got to really know what you're doing, or you can definitely go too far and end up hurting yourself big time.
Right. You have to make yourself as light as possible, I guess, to make the horse go faster. But man, that's ridiculous. That wow, that's crazy what they have to go through. That's man, I could never do it myself. I could never have that kind of discipline. Even if I was that short and everything else, I couldn't do it.
Well, I made no secret about it. Food is my downfall big time, and there's no way I could deprive myself nearly completely or not to eat what I eat. And I do find it funny that we, in the past few days, have spoke to the people on The Biggest Loser and then turn around and speak to the totally other end of the spectrum, to the jockey.
Right.
Went from the big people to extremely small people.
Right.
It's a little funny.
Welcome to the Drew Show. There you go.
Every little bit. That's do a little bit of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone asked me not long ago, what's the genre of your show? You know, what do you talk about? You know, do you have one specific topic? And I said, absolutely not. Whoever wants to come on our show, we welcome them on our show, and we talk about it. So whatever, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk about anything. I don't care. I put on Facebook, you know, take a listen, let me know what you think. I'll even mention your name in the show. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll talk about whatever they want to talk about. Facebook me, tweet me, whatever. I'll mention your name on there.
Why not? Absolutely.
We just want people to listen and spread, you know, it's entertaining stuff. I mean, I enjoy doing it. I know you enjoy doing it. And, you know, it's fun talking to these people. So just please listen and enjoy.
Yeah,
be a part of it. Call in if you want to.
Absolutely. Call in number is 818-495-6928 if you want to chat with us and talk or whatever. If you follow us on Twitter, I'm at DrewBTR, and David is, I get this wrong every time, D40Smith. Is that right? D as in dog, 40Smith. Okay.
Yep, that's it.
And if you'll follow both of us on Twitter and tweet us, and we don't mind giving you shout-outs during the show, and, you know, if anything you want us to say, as long as it's respectable. And all that, but, you know, whatever you want us to do, we're happy to do, because we're here for you guys. And if it wasn't for you people listening, then there's no way we would have a show right now. It wouldn't be possible. So,
how funny would it be if I said, call in, I'll talk to you, whatever, and it was a bill collector that I owe money to call in? They'd be like, we've tried to call you for 7 months. Why are you not answering your phone? That would be funny. Sorry,
AT&T.
I'm gonna make that. Hey, don't cash that check till next Friday, AT&T.
Right.
Just as you want.
Right. And what do they always say? Just keep in mind, sir, this call is monitored. This call is monitored. Really, this call is monitored too. Believe it or not.
This is both ends of the spectrum. We're being monitored.
Yeah.
Play it back.
Yeah. Man, it was a lot of fun having Joel Rosario on the show. I found out about it yesterday. This was a very last minute thing. I've been requesting to have him as a guest on our show ever since he won the Kentucky Derby, and I just found out that we could have him on yesterday. His agent called and said, when would you like to have him? And I said, well, how about tomorrow? I'm free tomorrow. And he said, oh, works for us. So we made it happen. So this is a last minute thing, and we put it together real quick. But we just talked to him probably about 30, 45 minutes ago.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a really cool thing to be talking to somebody because you know everybody was watching the Kentucky Derby just because it's the thing to do. You know, all the ladies are in their hats and everybody's drinking mint juleps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal. And for somebody to actually want it, to talk to them and see what they're up to, I mean, heck, it's pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is. And whether you watched it or, you know, you turned it on ESPN one day to see some baseball highlights and the highlights of the Kentucky Derby came on, or, you know, social media you saw it or whatever, you know, you definitely know about the Kentucky Derby and you know who won it and everything else. So I want to get right to the interview here. Let's play. We just chatted about 45 minutes ago with Joel Rosario, the great, great guy. I was very impressed with him. And his passion for racing, for being a jockey. So this is our interview with Joel Rosario. And now it gives me such great pleasure to welcome to the show winner of the 2013 Dubai World Cup and winner of the 2013 Kentucky Derby, Mr. Joel Rosario. Welcome to the show, sir. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Well, I know that you've been extremely busy since this Kentucky Derby, and I want to thank you so much for joining me, and thank you so much for taking out the time for us.
No, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, you know, I first have to say to you, congratulations. I mean, not only did you win the 2013 Dubai World Cup, you're the 2013 139th winner of the Kentucky Derby, so congratulations.
Thank you.
And I want to start out right before I talk about the Kentucky Derby. Now, you turned pro as a jockey. You turned pro at the age of 14. What was it that about being a jockey that made you want to do it so bad?
Well, I have a brother who took me to jockey school, and I rode horses before, you know, all my life, and I decided to, you know, to be a jockey. You know, I was always gonna be a baseball player, but I, you know, my height and my weight, you know, was too,
right,
you know, too low. So then I decided to be a jockey.
Yeah, were you a pretty good baseball player as well?
Well, yeah, pretty good. Yeah, I can play good. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. I love to hear that, you know, you pursued something, you love being a jockey, and that's what you're doing. That's incredible. Like I said, now you won the Dubai World Cup earlier this year, and that was a $10 million prize, of course. What does that mean to you?
You know, just to me, it means everything, you know what I mean? Because, you know, for me and my family and you know, and then all the people around, so, you know, working for me. And then, you know, this is great, you know, because it's, I always thought, you know, well, maybe one day I have a chance to win the Dubai World Cup or win the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, for me to do it both in 1 year is just like something, you know, more, it's like, you know, a dream coming true to me.
Absolutely. And I cannot say congratulations enough on this 139th Kentucky Derby win. Just incredible. And Orb was favored 5-1 to win. Talk to us about the Kentucky Derby and what this just whole experience has been like for you to win this.
Well, it's a really great experience. And like I say, you know, look, every owners, you know, who's having in the game, every training, every jockeys, you know, they wish they could, you know, win the, you know, they can talk about it because it's not the big race, you know, and you know, in racing, you know, in America, and when you win the Kentucky Derby, everybody knows you, so I'm like, well, then I have a chance to win it is something,
right,
you know, that's really, very special to me.
Absolutely. Now, what was going through your mind? You're coming around the last turn, and you're behind in the pack. You haven't caught up quite yet, so you're coming around. Your horses just come, and all of a sudden you dart towards first, and you see the finish line coming up, and you know you're getting closer and closer. What's going through your mind in that moment?
Well, you know, when I come from home, I know my horses have a good chance to win the race, and you know, I just kept, you know, I was really focused on the race, and you know, And then after when I pass the wire, yes, I, you know, I would say, well, you know, I just win the Kentucky Derby, so, you know, this is great. And you know, but when I turn for home, I know I thought, well, you know, I feel good because I say, well, my horse is moving good, so I know I have a good chance to win the race, but, you know, you never know to the finish line.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. This was the first win for your owner, Shug McGauntley, Orv's owner. This is his first victory for 3-year-old thoroughbred. So this must have been pretty special to give him that first win.
Yeah. You know, they've been, you know, those people been around for a long time, and you know, you have to take a guess, you know, how hard it is to win the Kentucky Derby. You know, those guys, they've been trying so hard for a time that they never win a Kentucky Derby. So, you know, I'm so, good, but, you know, for me, because, you know, for giving to them the first Kentucky Derby is something that's like, you know, it's making it more and more special to me.
Absolutely. And David?
Joel, I mean, it's kind of amazing to think that you win the Kentucky Derby. Like, that's like winning the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the biggest thing in horse racing. Other than, of course, the Triple Crown, which are you going to be riding the Orb for the Preakness and Belmont?
That's what I think for now, yeah.
Well, that's great, because every year I get so excited about thinking that we're going to have a Triple Crown, because I think the last one was like 1978, which was the year I was actually born. So what do you think your chances are going into the Preakness and then possibly taking on Belmont? I know, obviously, with history, it's not, you know, a good chance because it's hard to do. But usually the favorites don't win the Kentucky Derby, and you made that happen. But how are you optimistic going into the Preakness in Belmont?
Yeah, very exciting, you know, for the next races. And then look like the horses being, you know, doing very good right now. And you know, look like he's improving every time he ran. And, you know, hopefully he'll be available to him. You know, continue to improve, you know, to the next, you know, the Belmont, the Preakness and the Belmont, you know.
Right. Yeah, we see, you know, I don't watch horse racing a whole lot, but of course I watch the big races, and I think, you know, for the common people, we just think you just show up and hop on the horse and go, but I've seen a documentary about jockeys, and man, it is a hard thing to do. You know, you got to worry about your weight, and you're controlling this, you know, basically wild animal of sorts. Hey, what is the kind of preparation that you have to do to go towards into a race?
You have to do a lot of exercise and, you know, just sometimes get in the hard bars, you know, lose some weight and, you know, most of the time. And, you know, you just have to work hard. You have to really stay in, you know, and really lightweight, you know. And you know, it's just something that's not easy to do, you know, I feel, you know, this is my, you know, my work, and this, you know, what we have prepared for, so that's what we work for, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. How many days a week do you have to train, Joel?
But I ride every day, you know, so when you ride every day, you stay in shape, and you'll be available to, you know, to stay fit, and, you know, that's probably, you know, more the key, but like I said, I do exercise, you know, every day.
Well, like you said, yeah, and you work your butt off, obviously. And David, did you have any other questions?
Yeah, I know it's probably impossible to actually put into words, but what is the feeling of being on an animal like that, that you're going so fast and you're trying to control it, let alone if you're by yourself, but in a crowd? And it was, you know, wet during the Kentucky Derby. Like, what is the kind of feeling that comes over you when you're in that turn and all of a sudden, you know, there's horses around you and it's the ground's wet and you're that last stretch of Kentucky Derby? Like, is there any way to put that into words?
You know, just something like you really have to work with a horse and then, you know, hopefully your horses be available to listen exactly what you want to do, and then, you know, just this feeling and pretty much just work with the horse, you know, because they be available to do, you know, anything. And if you work with them, they, you know, they work with you too.
How difficult is it, Joel? How difficult is it to race in the mud like that instead of a grass course or any other courses that you guys have? Is it really difficult to race in such thick mud like that?
Well, no. You know, if you have the horses who really they like the mud and hold it good, this is the same like every race, you know. And it's different when you have horses, well, they know like the mud, and it's going to be hard for them, you know, to really do it. So they just make it a little hard, but, you know, there's nothing different, you know.
Right. Joel Rosario.
Do you prefer to, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you prefer to race like on the outside, or do you prefer to go in toward the rail, or is it just based on the situation?
This depends on the horse. Sometimes it depends on the situation and depends on the, you know, with all the riders too. You know, you gotta watch it for the, you know, with all the jockey. Everybody wants to win, you know, and you know, it's just something like, for example, you know, just you go there and you know, the more rides you ride, you figure thing out, and you know, to make it a little easy. You know, you never stop learning. Every day, you know, learning something different. So just like it's like I'll go there and I know everything. No, it's not work like that.
All right, absolutely. Joel Rosario, winner of the 2013 Dubai World Cup and winner of the 139th Kentucky Derby. I have to thank you, sir, so much for taking out the time to join us, and I cannot wait till your next race. We're definitely following you. I'm on my way to Nashville next week, so I'm hoping to make a trip up that way to check out everything, and it would be incredible to be able to meet you if you're up there.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me, and, you know, more than pleasure to work with you guys.
Go get the Triple Crown, man. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you. We're going to try hard to do it, so we'll see.
Good luck.
Good luck, Joel.
Thank you.
Joel.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Appreciate you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And that was Joel Rosario, first Dominican to win the 2013 Kentucky Derby. And as I said earlier during the show, he also won the Dubai World Cup earlier this year, which was a $10 million prize. That's amazing. I thought it was a great interview, David. I thought he's a great guy.
Yeah, he was. There was a few more questions I did want to ask him, but I didn't want to, you know, put him on the spot or anything. Like, I'm curious, when you say, like, he won $10 million prize, I wonder what he actually gets out of that. Because I think that a lot of that goes to the owners and whatnot.
Yeah.
And even my wife was like, ask him what he got from winning the Kentucky Derby. I'm like, I don't want to ask him that on the radio. Nobody want to talk that.
Yeah.
But I am curious to know, like, what, you know, what do jockeys make? How much can they make? I mean, I don't think it's probably more than what we make, but it's probably less than what we would think, considering the amount of money that's going between those, you know, betting on horses and everything.
I would imagine, because they've got to keep up the conditioning on the horses and everything. So
horses alone, man, if you buy a racehorse, man, you're talking millions of millions.
Yeah.
And if you have a horse that wins the Kentucky Derby, oh, man, all you got to do is just let them breed with other horses.
Yeah.
People will pay out of their mind for those kind of money.
They will. They absolutely will.
That's got to be what they tell these horses. Because, I mean, if you were to tell a horse, hey, I need you to run around this track with a bunch of other horses, but if you break your leg, ugh. Like, I would be going slow if I was a horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe, I guess, they tell somehow the horse whisperer tells the horse that if you win this race, we're going to put you in a field, and all you're going to do is just breed for the rest of your life. You know, eat the best, just hang out and breed. I mean, that sounds like a good life if you can actually get to that point.
It does, yeah. But you have to win.
Yeah.
Everything leads up to the, you know, Kentucky Derby, a two-minute race, literally a two-minute race. So wow, it's crazy, but it was so much fun having him on, and like I said, first Dominican to win, which is just incredible. You know, you hear a lot of times with NASCAR, or not really NASCAR too much, but with baseball or football or whatever the case is, that there's a first African American to win an award or to win something, and to hear there's a first Dominican to win something is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I guess horse racing is big in Dubai and everything, and I guess it's getting bigger down in Dominican too, down in that area. But man, it's a cool thing to say you've won the Kentucky Derby. I mean, that's a big deal. One day I want to go to drink, you know, mint juleps and you know, my wife wear a hat and all that good stuff. But I hear that the down in the little area, not the big where the big people sit, but the other ones, I hear it gets a little crazy there on the infield. So it's like a party.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what's even crazier though, right? Or what's even cooler though, right? Interviewing the guy that won the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, big time. That is awesome. To be able to ask him, and I do. I mean, it's got to be something to be on the back of that horse. And man, these things are flying too, dude. They're like kicking it, and they're just going. And you got all these other horses around you, and if you fall off, it's almost a 90% chance you're going to get ran over by another horse.
Yeah, 90% chance you're dead.
Yeah, like it happens, you know, a lot. And these people, you don't just fall and that's it. You get straight up blasted. Like, you just ran over.
Right. Man, amazing. If anyone wants to call in for a minute before we end the show, the number is 818-495-6928 if you want to share your thoughts about the Kentucky Derby, or if you're even a jockey yourself or you've been a jockey, call us and let's chat. We'd love to talk to you.
I'm curious to know if there's jockeys out there and what they actually have to go through to make weight, because it is a tough deal. And it's to be that small and control that kind of animal, you got to have some kind of strength.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a little depressed. Do you watch any sitcoms, Drew?
I watch a little bit. I watch just things like, I used to watch Family Guy all the time. You're talking about on TV, correct?
Yeah.
I used to watch Family Guy. I watch a lot of Chicago Fire and Law and Order SVU and stuff like that. What about you?
Man, one of my favorite shows got canceled, and it's one of those shows that, for some reason, nobody likes. I always like the corniest stuff, like, but Whitney. You ever watch Whitney? Whitney Cummings show?
Oh, yeah, I've watched it a few times, yeah.
Man, that show was funny. I love that show.
I didn't know it got canceled.
I know, it did. I just was reading a while ago, and it got canceled as well as a few other shows. But I was like, man, I love that show.
You know,
I like stand-up comedy, so.
Yeah. You know, a few other shows that got canceled, and I guess I can announce it here. Everybody's pretty much heard about it anyway, but 1600 PN on NBC just got canceled.
I saw that.
We had Josh Gad on our show from 1600 PN not long ago. He's the curly-headed guy, kind of big guy, the real dorky kid on the show. We had him. And we had Eva Longoria, Amber Keller Andrews, as well, and from Ready for Love on NBC, and that show just recently got canceled as well, so that's too bad. That's really shame.
Maybe you should not announce that everybody we speak with ends up getting canceled. You may want to ignore on that part.
Delete. Yeah.
Yeah, just leave that part out.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well. It's too late now.
Yeah. I know. Jeez. But, yeah, I end up liking a lot of things that are some people consider corny or cheesy, like Train, the music group Train, and Nickelback. Everybody jokes on them, but I'm like, it's so good. It's one of my favorites. I don't know. Maybe
If you ever have the opportunity to see Train in person, man, they put on a great show. I went to see them about 2 years ago. They were awesome.
Speaking of that, what would you say was your best concert you've ever been to?
It would be a tie between Nickelback and Bon Jovi.
Oh, nice.
Bon Jovi puts on an incredible show. I went to Phillips Arena in Atlanta to see him, and I saw Nickelback with Seether and Saving Abel at Lakewood a few years ago, and we were out on the lawn area, which was still a really good view, and it was pouring down rain the entire time. Can you imagine a rock band on stage with the lights and rock, you know, the speakers and everything, and it raining? We had an incredible time. It was awesome.
Gee, that would be cool. But I'm kind of an indoor arena kind of guy. I'm kind of a pansy when it comes to that stuff. I don't like huge crowds, and I don't like being uncomfortable having to stand up the whole time.
Yeah.
But I guess me, I'd probably say it's a tie. Like you, since you're gonna do a tie, I'm gonna do a tie. It's going to be a tie between Reba McEntire, which, oh, buddy, when she walks out in that red dress singing fancy, it's just, oh, but she can still rock, even at her age. That junk, it's like everybody went crazy when she walked out in that red dress and started singing fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. But that.
Man, I agree. Reba's hot.
Yeah, she's good looking, but she puts on a better show, dude, even at. You know, she's older now, and, I mean, she was dancing the whole time, and you sing right along, and the whole time I was sitting there just thinking, hey, where's Van at off of that show, Reba? Because it's like she was just, because when she did that show, she was basically playing herself.
Yeah.
So it seemed like it was just that person.
Yeah.
But I saw Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan at Phillips Arena, too. I know that sounds like a woman's choice, but. It was actually Jason Aldean put on a heck of a show.
Yeah, he was just at the Sanford Stadium, the University of Georgia football stadium.
I bet that was crazy and wild.
I heard Ludacris and a few other people showed up for that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he's getting a big deal. Man, Georgia's stepping it up, especially. Well, I mean, in the rap game as well, but especially in country music. Like, think of all the acts that come from. Georgia, geez.
Yeah, and most rap artists are from Georgia, or they live in Georgia now. They have a house here or something, and they travel back and forth all the time. But, yeah, I'd say Atlanta is starting to be the new Hollywood. There's a lot of movies being filmed here. Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, Jim Carrey, Vince Vaughn, they're all in – well, Kanye's not here anymore, but they were all in Atlanta just the other day filming.
Yeah, a buddy of mine showed me. Was he filming?
Anchorman 2.
Yeah, a buddy of mine showed me a picture today that he had pictures with, I guess Jim Carrey's doing a little cameo role in Anchorman. He had a picture with Jim Carrey, Steve Carell. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
It's stepping up. And I don't know why. I got to somehow get myself on TV or in a movie.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. Now, one of your friends met Jim Carrey and Steve Carell?
Yeah, a guy I worked with at my other job, I guess he just went down there and was just trying to get pictures and somehow got close enough to get pictures with him. So apparently, Jim Carrey is in Anchorman 2.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. What did he say about meeting them?
I didn't get the chance to speak with him. I don't think it was a quick grab a picture and go kind of deal.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I met Paul Rudd not long ago. He's also in Anchorman 2. Met him, and it was a very quick sign this and then get out of here kind of thing. So, yeah.
Oh, if you follow you on Facebook, there's pictures every other week of you meeting somebody.
Right.
A celebrity or whatnot.
Yeah. I love going to meet celebrities and all that. And I'm taking a trip to Nashville pretty soon. So, and I want to mention this before I forget. I know there's going to be some people that just listened to that interview with Joel Rosario hear me say that I'm going to Nashville and I hope to meet him. I know the Kentucky Derby isn't in Nashville, Tennessee. What I was trying to say is that the track is only about 2 hours from Nashville, so I'm planning on heading that way. They have a big museum tour that they do up there, so I'm really wanting to go up there and check all that out and get some pictures. That would be cool.
That would be cool if you can, like, I'd probably say, you can see, like, I think they have, like, a little grave sites where a lot of the legendary race horses were buried. I know it sounds silly to be like, go see a gravesite of a racehorse, but still, like, you know, Secretariat or Barbaro or somebody like that. That's legendary.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Definitely.
Yeah. And if you go to, I think, Lexington. I know, I don't know where Lexington is compared to Louisville, but I know they have a Muhammad Ali Museum. That would be cool. That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be awesome. Muhammad Ali is amazing.
Yeah, he's the Louisville Lip.
Yeah.
One of his cat play.
Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you joining me for another show.
No, man, my pleasure. Anytime, I enjoy it. I'm hoping we can, you know, get some people to start calling in and ask us a question. We'll answer whatever. You see, we'll talk about anything, whether it's Whitney being canceled or racehorses. We'll do whatever.
Or talk about everybody I have on the show. The show gets canceled. We can talk about that too.
Yeah, let's don't talk about that. Nobody's going to want to come.
Yeah.
If that is the case, let's see who we can get that we don't like.
Oh, man, it's a lot of fun having these guests. I always get a full report after the show of how many people listen to the show and how many people go back over time and listen to the archive shows as well. And I know there's people listening to the live shows. I know there's people listening now. And some people are just afraid to call in, or they just really don't know what to say. Most of the time, guys, we don't even know what to say. I promise you.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear me say as soon as you hear me say, now I'm pleased to welcome so-and-so to the show, then all of a sudden I start having to think of questions. So most of the time I don't even know what to say. So, and that's probably pretty obvious from you listening sometimes, but just have fun. Call in and we'll have some fun talking to everybody.
Every time we talk, and I'm grateful enough to let you have me on the show. Before the show, I'm sitting here thinking of things in my head, and I'm like, man, that's genius. That's so funny. That's gone. And then as soon as you have me on, I'm like, okay, yes, anyway.
Right.
So, and after the show's over, I'm like, man, I should have said this. I should have said that. But, you know, don't let that stop you. Like I said, it don't stop me. I just say whatever comes to my mind at the time. So
none of this.
And let me know what you think.
None of our shows, and I don't know if anyone knows this, but none of our shows are scripted. No, not one single one of them. I have a little piece of paper right next to me right now for our interview we just had a minute ago, and the only thing I have down is that Joel won the Dubai World Cup and the 139th Kentucky Derby. That's all I have. All the other questions just came completely off the hip. So, and if I have somebody from NBC, I just have the time and day that the show airs. So, I mean, you know, never be afraid to call in, because we love to have you.
Yeah, or if you don't want to call in and there's something you do want to know, heck, follow me and Drew on Twitter or on Facebook, and we usually announce ahead of time what it is, who it is that you're having on.
Right.
Tell us what you know, and we'll ask them the question. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care at all, as long as it's very respectful and you don't...
Yeah, we can't go crazy or nothing, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're going to have one of those call-ins one day to ask a guest if they'll go to prom with them. You know those people, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Hopefully that'll be the day we have Kate Upton on.
There you go.
We need to work on that, because I'll ask her to prom.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll invade the high school prom.
Buddy.
Some 30-year-old guys.
Who brought Grandpa to the prom?
Yeah. Right. Just shut up. I have Kate Upton.
Yeah. And no one won't nobody be looking at me, so it won't matter.
Right. Well. Man, thank you again. And follow us on Twitter, like David said. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Drew BTR. Very simple as always, DREWBTR. Maybe one day I'll get the name on Twitter, The Drew Show. There's a guy that has it right now, and he doesn't tweet very much. So go on his Twitter page and harass the crap out of him to change his name so I can get it. Everyone.
Yeah, tell him to give it up.
Yeah, there you go. Tell him to. So, and David, you could reach David at D40 Smith.
That's it.
And your podcast,
hit
David, is David DavidandPoe.com.
Yeah, DavidandPoe.com. The name of the podcast is Inappropriate Commentary. we try to do a show a week. We're actually going to have Drew on tomorrow and hopefully have that posted up next week. We're going to ask Drew some questions and find out who his favorite person he spoke with, any juicy dirt or information he can delve out. We're going to talk to him about that. And, you know, go check us out. We write blogs. We just try to make you laugh pretty much is the main thing of that show. And, you know, come check us out. Let us know what you think. Go on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio and leave reviews of the Drew Show and let them know how much you like it. You know, give it 5 stars and be sure to tell them that, you know, David sounds sexy on the phone, that kind of stuff. you know, just let us know what you think and rate us and, you know, help us out a little bit. We sure would appreciate any little boost we can get.
We definitely would, and a few things that if you are tweeting us, follow us and tweet us and tell us how much you like the show, and make sure you include a hashtag Blog Talk Radio in the tweet, so Blog Talk Radio will see that, and we'll get more great exposure as well. So we'd really appreciate that. And David, I'm looking forward to being on your show tomorrow. I just have this feeling that you're going to put me on the spot and ask me some kind of question. So
a little bit.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to it.
Oh, man, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much, buddy, for joining us again. And I want to thank our guest, Joel Rosario, winner of the 2013 Dubai Cup and the 139th running of the Kentucky Derby. First Dominican to ever win the Kentucky Derby. So congratulations to him. Wish him nothing but the best in his pursuit to the Triple Crown. David, thank you again, buddy, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. All right. Have a good day, everyone. Follow us on Twitter, DrewBTR and David D40 Smith. See you, everyone.